This is Jay Sekulow. Israel launches a major initiative, an attack against Hezbollah.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, yesterday on the broadcast, we talked a bit about what was going on in the Middle East, but let me tell you what we've got now. This is from the Embassy of Israel. I'm holding my hand the tweet that they sent out, and you can't really see it here. We may have pictures of it our team can put up for Facebook and Periscope and our TV audience. But this is a terror tunnel that is created by Hezbollah, built in order to attack Israel, take Israeli citizens hostage, and spread terror. Hezbollah is funded and supported and directed by Iran. Hezbollah's tunnels constitute a violation of both Israeli sovereignty and UN Resolution 1701 and 1559. Now, I have been to this portion of Israel many times, and I will tell you this in our defense of Israel at the International Criminal Court, that this is a very serious situation. John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, has come out very strongly in defense of Israel's right to defend itself and its national sovereignty. Ambassador Ron Dermer from Israel has said, Israel deeply appreciates the Trump administration's unequivocal support for Israel's right to defend itself against Hezbollah tunnels, Hamas rockets, Iran's entrenchment in Syria, and all other things that threaten the Jewish state. Now, this is what you need to understand. Hezbollah is supported directly by Iran. When we talk about asymmetrical warfare, that's in part what we're talking about here. This is Hezbollah is simply a proxy for Iran. That is exactly what the situation is. Let me go to Skip Ash, who is our senior counsel on military affairs, colonel in the United States Army, retired, very familiar with this portion of the world. And Skip, give me your assessment.
Well, I think this is serious. I think the Hezbollah people are now talking with Hamas, which has successfully built tunnels, and they're trying to replicate that on the northern border. So now we have Israel being attacked by Hezbollah from the north via tunnels, by Hamas from the south by tunnels, and then we also have that presence of the Iranian forces in Syria. So it's very serious.
What's unique is that over the weekend, Hezbollah threatened the IDF. So as if they knew that attacks were coming. You know, a lot of the focus has been really on what's been happening in the Palestinian territories, the Gaza Strip, and in the West Bank with these riots that have occurred, and also, yep, of course, Syria. Now Israel turning its focus back to its northern border and its fight against these Hezbollah terror tunnels.
Do we have a map that would be good to get? Yeah. Let's get it up for the next segment.
Yeah. And let me just explain that these terror tunnels, what are the purpose of them? They tunnel right under the Israeli border. Okay, so it's right under the border, and they are used to attack Israel, so actually send in Hezbollah forces, take citizens from Israel hostage, take military members from the IDF hostage, which they've done before. And this all gets funded, by the way, by Iran. It's a violation of a UN Security Council resolution because it's a violation of national sovereignty to have these kind of tunnels used for any kind of purpose, yeah, smuggling or what. But in this case, these are terror tunnels. They are used to get weapons into Israel, Hezbollah fighters into Israel,
and kidnap Israelis. They've done that.
Both citizens and soldiers.
Yep. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, who's also our designated representative to the United Nations. We have NGO status, non-governmental organization status at the UN. There are references to a couple of UN resolutions on this. What is the status of those, Than? And then we've got the resolution that Nikki Haley's moving forward on Hamas.
Well, all of them are pending, Jay. The one that Nikki Haley has introduced against Hamas will get a vote on probably Thursday at about 3 o'clock p.m. But look, I think it's important to zoom out. You've got Hezbollah, the tunnel issue. You've got Iran testing the missiles. And then you've got Hamas firing rockets. Jay, never before has it been more important for the United States to be resolute in its defense of Israel. And sort of center stage of that fight is at the United Nations. Ambassador Haley's done a great job under President Trump's authorization, Jay. But look, most of the United Nations continues to pass these resolutions opposed to Israel. The United States is really the only power left standing in defense of her.
Should we defend Israel? We'll take in your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. How important of an issue is that for you? And what about Iran and Hezbollah? The proxy. Hezbollah, the proxy for Iran. We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Israel launches an attack on Hezbollah terror tunnels. Tunnels that have been near completion that cross into Israeli territory. So they cross the border into Israel. These are terror tunnels used to smuggle Hezbollah fighters, which are guerrilla warfare fighters and some of the best trained guerrilla warfare fighters. Even the IDF has acknowledged that, so very dangerous forces. It's also used to kidnap Israelis, both Israeli citizens and IDF members. And it's used to transport weapons into Israel with those special operatives from Hezbollah. So these are very sophisticated tunnels. The IDF has tweeted out a photo of one of them that was destroyed. We don't know exactly how many were attacked. They've acknowledged one just to show the imagery of that. Now, this came in light of Hezbollah over the weekend threatening the IDF. So the Lebanese-based terror group Hezbollah released a video this past weekend warning Israel against attacking it, saying that the video, which is part of Hezbollah's propaganda machine, showed footage of IDF soldiers and apparent satellite images of military bases. Don't know if they have that technology yet or not. Some believe they have these drones, kind of low-tech drones, to be able to get that information. They showed the IDF headquarters in Tel Aviv, accompanied by a message in Hebrew, so speaking directly to the IDF from Hezbollah, if you dare attack, you will regret it. Now, the video was posted after reported Israeli airstrikes on Iranian targets in Syria overnight last week. But what I think Hezbollah missed, but maybe felt was coming, was a new move against Hezbollah on the Israeli border, where they're headquartered right in southern Lebanon, so right on the border with northern Israel. And again, West, I think this was the idea here, is that Hezbollah tries to put this threat out, but the truth is when you take down these tunnels, and if you do so within your own sovereign territories, it appears it was done in it, so they stop them in Israel and kind of destroy it. So you have seriously damaged probably many months, if not years, of work by Hezbollah to build these very sophisticated tunnels that are wide and ventilated and air conditioned, and we're about ready to be used to carry out terror attacks. It also notifies Hezbollah that the IDF knows what they're up to on the border.
Absolutely. So the move by Hezbollah to build up its tunnel operations in Israel coincides, at least in part, with the winding down of the civil war in neighboring Syria. And accordingly, both Iran and Israel have shifted their focus toward Hezbollah's belligerence in Lebanon. And clearly, Iran sees Hezbollah as a foot soldier in its war against Israel and ultimately its war against the United States. Previously, Israel has attacked targets in Syria, Hezbollah targets, Iranian targets. But I think Iran has shifted its attention to providing direct military equipment to Hezbollah via Beirut. And so I think this is very, very important. Clearly, in the long run, Hezbollah intends to take Israelis hostage.
They've done it before. I mean, it's not like this if they've never done it. They've done
absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a war between Hezbollah and Israel in 2006, leaving 1,200 Lebanese dead, 165 Israelis were killed. So this is a long war, and one of the things that everyone should keep their eye on is the fact that these individuals, like Hezbollah, these groups, they have a long memory. And so they have a long-term strategy of destabilizing the region and destabilizing Israel, and the United States should be prepared to support our ally in the Middle East.
And I believe that Israel now needs to be prepared for some kind of response from Lebanon, even if it's kind of low weaponry rockets, because reading the reports, Hezbollah was really following the model of Hamas, who used these tunnels fairly successfully. And then Israel put together, that's how they kidnapped Gilead Shalit. Hamas did that. There was a war there. Remember, and I think this is clear, those tunnels have been basically shut down. Israel and the IDF started a task force to shut down and study these tunnels.
Yeah, and Egypt, because when you're dealing with Gaza, which is near Egyptian territory there, in the Suez and that, or in the Sinai, the fact is that the Egyptians have encouraged Israeli assistance. So with the Lebanese, obviously, it's very different.
So Hezbollah then started following this Hamas model, but with better funding from Iran. So these tunnels are reported, it took them 2 years to get to this point. And now they've been destroyed.
Yes, but the thing is, everybody needs to understand, we give up money to Iran in that Iran deal. Guess what they did? Gave them more money to spend on terrorists. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 800-684-3110. We want to know your position on Israel and its defense of its sovereignty. How important of an issue is it for you? Let's go take a call.
Yep, Robert's calling from Maryland on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, will the Israeli government allow the Israeli Defense Forces to completely wipe out Hezbollah in this operation as far as trying to destroy the tunnels?
Well, let me tell you the problem. Hezbollah is a big organization. I mean, when you're dealing with Hezbollah, you're talking about a standing army. They don't wear uniforms, per se, but they are an army. They work like an army, and some of them do wear uniforms. So I think to take out Hezbollah, you'd have to have a major engagement, and Israel is more into surgical strikes.
Yes, that would be a full-scale war. Hezbollah has basically taken over most of Lebanon and the Lebanese government and all of southern Lebanon.
It would be a war with Lebanon.
I mean, you'd also have to get into Beirut because they control many of the areas of Beirut. So you're talking about guerrilla warfare, similar to what happened in 2006, children being used, very violent. Yes, they will incur more losses, but Israel would incur serious losses as well of troops because this would be fighting on their territory, booby-trapped towns and villages. The fake towns and villages that you see.
We've been to them.
Yeah, I mean, you could see them across the border. But you don't even have to, the fight would have to go past that now as Hezbollah has gotten stronger all the way into Beirut. Israel, that would be a last resort.
Not that Israel wouldn't be successful at it.
Yeah, they'd be successful.
I mean, Skip, let's talk about the logistical aspect of a military engagement like that.
Well, it would be significant in the fact that they would have to go in and actually occupy the territory. Remember, there's a UN force there that's supposed to be keeping the forces apart and keeping Hezbollah out, and they've utterly failed. They failed every time they've been used. It takes the Israelis. They would have to go in themselves, major units, for a major period of time, sort of like occupying southern Lebanon like they did for a number of years before. And the problem is that the Hezbollah uses civilian locations, homes and schools and mosques, to store their goods. So they complicate the Israelis' problem by stowing goods in otherwise protected facilities. And then when Israel can lawfully attack them, then civilians are killed, and then Israel loses either way. We also have to remember that Hezbollah has hundreds of thousands of rockets in the Bekaa Valley that someday can be unleashed. So if they decide to go, they're going to have to go with a great deal of force. And remember that what will probably happen this time, given the presence of Iranian forces in Syria and the support in Hamas in the Gaza Strip, Israel will probably be fighting a two- or three-front war.
Back in April of 2010, this is way before the Iran deal and all the money starts flowing to Iran, Secretary of Defense, former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, claimed that Hezbollah has far more missiles and rockets, like Skip was saying, than the majority of countries in the world. That they have more rockets and missiles than most countries do in the entire world. So when you think Hezbollah, don't think just like armed group. Think
it's not even Al-Qaeda. It's not Al-Qaeda, ISIS.
They are full political party with representation in Lebanon, and they control southern Lebanon, and they have moved into many parts of Beirut as well.
In a real way, Harry, from a policy standpoint, it would be have to be prepared to be engaging in war with Lebanon.
Absolutely, and I think this would be a lengthy conflict, and it would require a deep commitment by the Israelis. And once they go in, I don't think they could safely withdraw without sparking more casualties in Israel. So I think Israel would necessarily have to be prepared for a long war. And
the Israelis tend to like their wars 6 to 14 days, as the Six-Day War is famously known, and the Yom Kippur War as well. But, Dan, what's the sense in the UN on all of this?
Well, here's the thing, Jay. I mean, no matter how significant the force of Hezbollah is, and no matter how targeted or justified a response from Israel would be, it would definitely trigger condemning resolutions inside the United Nations Security Council. And we've talked about this on this broadcast a lot, Jay. This is one of the most important reasons for the United States to remain in the United Nations and to keep its veto power at the Security Council. Because these tunnels we're talking about, they're in violation of Security Council resolutions right now, Jay. But if there was any kind of a conflict, I guarantee you the resolution of condemnation that would come forward would be targeted primarily at Israel. The ones that were targeted against Hezbollah, Jay, they wouldn't move forward.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Very interesting discussion. 800-684-3110. Good calls coming in, good comments coming in from Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments in, share it with your friends, and those listening to us by radio, go ahead and call us at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, December Matching Challenge has started. ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, we're going to go right to our phones, 800-684-3110, talking about Israel taking out Hezbollah tunnels funded by, of course, Iran. So there is a proxy war going on between Iran and Israel through Hezbollah. But I think important here, let's go to Colonel Ash, because I think it's important to describe what a proxy war is. It's asymmetrical. Well, let's talk about what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, we're dealing with a war where the Iranians are not engaging directly. They're using others to engage. And that way they try to keep some separation. They try to have an argument that we're not really at fault here. We're not really engaged here. It's you have to go to Hezbollah. You have to go to Hamas. But what they are in effect doing is they're paying these people to do their dirty work. Although they're getting closer and closer as the Iranians move into southern Syria and on the Golan Heights, there could be some direct conflict. But in the meantime, they're using people that are not Iranians to do their dirty work for them.
So I guess the question then becomes is what does Israel do? I think Israel's doing containment action when you deal with taking these tunnels out.
I think it was a sign to Hezbollah. We have been watching what you're doing, letting you think that you were going to be able to complete these tunnels. It took 2 years for Hezbollah to get to this point where they were almost completed, ventilated, air conditioning, large enough to move weapons through, large enough to move troops through, large enough for kidnappings into they were entering in Israel's border, so they crossed under the border into Israeli territory, and they let them get to that point. They were watching them over these last 2 years, and I think probably right before they were ready for use, have now taken them all out. And I think that was a sign to Hezbollah that Israel knows what you were up to, and it's going to take a long time for Hezbollah then to try and rebuild these again, if they do even try to rebuild these again, because it means that Israel's right on top of it. Now, that Hezbollah could respond. They do, as we talked about on the show, have one of the largest rocket and missile caches of any kind of armed group or country in the world. So they could certainly respond with attacks on northern Israel, but that would then lead to an even heavier, I think mostly air response by Israel that could decimate more Hezbollah targets, as they have been pretty decimated out in Syria. Remember, Hezbollah got sent to Syria to help fight with the Assad regime, like the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So it's Hezbollah was like coming back to Lebanon to start building their efforts up there against Israel. Israel realized that and took the fight right back to him in Lebanon. But Hezbollah had been getting battered in Syria up until recently, fighting the war there on behalf of the Assad regime.
All right, so here's where I think you really need to look at the situation. And that is, you got to get an understanding. We'll go to calls in a moment, Harry, but you got to get an understanding of what the long-term play is here. This is a containment action by Israel, but the focus has to be on the fact that Iran is the bad actor. They're using these other proxies.
Absolutely. So Iran continues to engage in provocation, but they use proxies generally to do much of their dirty work. And so one of the things that we have to be concerned about is that any attack on Hezbollah, A, will provoke a response from Hezbollah, but more likely than not, Hamas will then launch some additional attacks or actions on the southern border with Israel. But the long-term enemy here, and so let's be clear, is Iran. It's not necessarily Hezbollah or Hamas, it's Iran. And so the West should take Iranian belligerence seriously, including the reimposition of sanctions, and also consider strengthening our allies in the region. For instance, those Sunni groups that are allied against Iran, because Iran is the preeminent bad actor in the world. It is the preeminent state sponsor of terror. And so all of our coordinated efforts should really be aimed at Iran, even though we deal with situations which may involve Hezbollah or Hamas or others.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. 800-684-3110. Jordan is next.
Bill's calling in from Wyoming online, too. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bill.
Hi there. Before I start, I'd like to wish you gentlemen a happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas
to
all of you.
Thank you as well.
I've got a question here. I'm just kind of wondering, do you think these guys have been emboldened because of the statements and accusations that the UN has been making against Israel?
That's a great question, and I think the answer, I'll go to Van Bennett on this, but I think the answer is, sure, look, they've got the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation is the largest bloc inside the UN. Now, that also raises the question, what's going to happen on this Hamas piece that's being put forward? So why don't you address both of those, then?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is unequivocally yes. We've argued this for a long time, Jay, that these resolutions, while sometimes they don't have, you know, binding mechanisms in them, they embolden others in the world to act with hostility towards Israel. But look, on both of these fronts, I mean, thank goodness for the direction that the Trump administration and Ambassador Haley have taken on it. On the Hezbollah front, Jay, they were in violation of multiple Security Council resolutions just because of the existence of these tunnels, and yet the Security Council did nothing. Now, if Israel is to respond, I can guarantee you that there will be measures brought against Israel inside the Security Council. The United States will, in all likelihood, have to veto those. On the Hamas front, Jay, for the first time, the United States is issuing has drafted a resolution and has introduced it condemning Hamas for firing rockets into Israel. That's going to be voted on likely on Thursday afternoon under the direction of Ambassador Haley and President Trump. Jay, it has the support of the European Union, which is incredibly significant. Now, because of the block of the Islamic Organization for the Islamic Cooperation, it will likely not pass the General Assembly, but it sends a very clear message to the world, not only where the United States is, but just how committed they are to doing it. Jay,
When's that vote?
It's scheduled for Thursday at 3 p.m. And just to give a little bit of color, last week there were six resolutions passed against Israel, but likely on Thursday, even with the United States and the European Union behind it, the General Assembly will probably vote this one down. That just tells you a little bit about the UN.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, another call. Let's go to Tim in Wisconsin on line three. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, I've heard that this is a response of Israel to Hezbollah Operation Galilee.
Well, yes, you're actually right. So in the news reports today out of Israel, they've said that the IDF's been aware since 2006 that Hezbollah was trying to construct the attack tunnels stretching from Lebanon into Israel at several points along the border. And since then, Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah, who hides underground, has spoken of a plan to take over parts of the Galilee, so the Operation Galilee in northern Israel, in a future conflict. He is expected, by the way, the head of Hezbollah, to give a speech later today in Lebanon in response to the launch of the operation against these terror tunnels.
Yeah, so Skip, it's fair to say that there will be a response also from Hezbollah here.
Oh, I think so. They talk a good game. They make a lot of rhetoric. But at some point in time, they will try to do something in response. There'll be some violence someplace in response to this, but it's not going to be significant yet. There may be some rockets fired and so on, which are not pleasant if you're in Israel, obviously. But I don't think they're in a position yet to be able to mount a major attack on Israel. But they're going to have to do something to keep their supporters in line.
All right. We're going to take more of your calls. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, simply go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. Of course, Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments in as well. We'll be taking all of those and your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We cleared up a couple lines for you, so we got some lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan's going to tell you about our matching challenge month of December, the month of the year for the ACLJ.
Yeah, that's right. This is the final month where we're able to gather the resources so we know exactly what we have going into the new year. Of course, we continue to fight battles up until the new year kicks over. That doesn't change anything, but it's how we plan. So you can double the impact of your donation right now if you donate online at aclj.org. Your donation will be doubled. That's aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're talking about what's come out of Israel, and that is Israel has destroyed Hezbollah terror tunnels. These are built in order to attack Israel, take Israeli citizens as hostage, spread terror, and also, to, of course, get Hezbollah terrorist soldiers into Israel. Hezbollah is funded by and supported directly by Iran. They are Iran's proxy. So I want to go back to something we started at the beginning of the program because I think it's worth reiterating at the top. When we talk about asymmetrical warfare and proxy warfare, what are we talking about? I think it's important for everybody to understand. Let me go to Colonel Smith. Colonel Ash. We get a lot of colonels around here. Colonel Ash. Colonel Ash, let's go ahead and talk about first asymmetrical warfare.
Asymmetrical warfare is when you have one side that is very strong militarily and another side that lacks that capability. So what they do is they attack in different ways, trying to limit the effectiveness of the more powerful situation. For instance, in this case with Israel, Israel has a powerful army, they have a powerful air force, and the Palestinians in many places do not. Therefore, they will attack civilians, they will make their own rockets and attack, they will come in under tunnels and try to kidnap people. That's a form of asymmetric warfare, meaning it's not symmetric, it's not the same on both sides.
And proxy warfare.
Proxy warfare is where two sides don't engage directly together. What they do is they choose representatives to go out and fight for them. So in the case of Iran, Iran does not directly confront Israel. It chooses Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and it chooses Hezbollah in Lebanon and gives them the weapons to fight Israel, trying to maintain a distance so that if anything goes wrong, Iran itself will not be held responsible.
So, but I want to play a clip because the Iran aspect of this is very important. I want you to understand who this is really a war with. It's really a war. There's an ongoing conflict with the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is a question that was asked to Brian Hook, who is a senior policy advisor to Secretary of State Pompeo and the special representative for Iran.
Is going to war with Iran an option given that the sanctions and the maximum pressure policies have failed so far to curb Iran right. and to stop it from smuggling weapons to these militias?
We have been very clear with the Iranian regime that we will not hesitate to use military force when our interests are threatened. I think they understand that. I think they understand that very clearly. I think right now, while we have the military option on the table, our preference is to use all of the tools at our disposal diplomatically.
So, Harry, let me ask you this and get Jordan to jump in on this, too. When you look at diplomatic tools that they're talking about, we know what we're talking about, everything from sanctions to bilateral and trilateral negotiations. What do you think could be most effective here?
Well, first, I think the United States needs to remain firm and steadfast in insisting on enforcing U.S. sanctions against Iran. Secondly, the United States needs to encourage its European allies to reimpose sanctions on Iran, because essentially we should remember this. Iran continues to fuel an indirect fight with both Israel and the United States. And I think, as Skip has explained, this is part of an asymmetric warfare campaign. Iran refuses to directly engage generally against Israel and the United States. But they fuel this war through proxies. And so we need to sanction individual Iranians, but we also need to sanction their proxies. Yep. And we need to insist that the world comply with those sanctions, including with respect to oil. We need to tighten the screws on Iran.
I mean, you know, it's interesting when it comes to the UN as well. They've got a peacekeeping, supposed to be interim, started in 1978, force on the Israeli-Lebanon border. Of course, they've been accused of assisting Hezbollah and looking the other way. Even those kidnappings occurred of IDF soldiers who were killed by Hezbollah. That has 10,000 UN peacekeepers are on the border. And so, again, there's the UN for you right there. It's the Security Council that's got to do the work. We've got our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. It's how we fund our ACLJ Jerusalem office and have a team there. Donate now, and your donation is doubled at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We had a really interesting question that came in about how the international community can cripple groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, and it was from Margie on Facebook. We just answered it on Facebook. I think it's a good enough question that we should answer it on the radio broadcast as well. So let me go to Pam Bennett again, who's our designated representative at the United Nations. Again, a unique role that the American Center for Law and Justice and our affiliates around the globe have is we actually have standing at the United Nations. I mean, we submit papers. We orally intervene in conferences and at General Assembly meetings and at hearings, national security meetings. I mean, we have a full involvement and full engagement, which is something we did a number of years ago. And boy, has it been a... It was a struggle to get it. I will tell you that. We worked on it for about 2 years to get recognition. But we've gotten recognition. We've engaged on a number of issues. But then it's a really good question that Margie asked. How can the international community cripple groups like Hamas and Hezbollah?
Well, it's really eye-opening, Jay, when you look at the various levels of the United Nations, too. If you look at the General Assembly, it's very difficult to get things through there because there's a bias against Israel built in. At the Security Council, the United States can block things on their own. So you have a lot more effectiveness in coupling with the international community there. But, Jay, I think the answer to this question goes back to something that Jordan mentioned in the last break when he was talking about peacekeeping troops that have a role to play in keeping the sides apart here. Well, those peacekeeping troops are authorized by the Security Council, but when the governing body, the United Nations, passes resolution after resolution after resolution that takes a side in the fight, specifically the side of Israel's attackers, it undermines the mission of those peacekeeping troops. So I would say the international community should go back to the Security Council and insist that the peacekeeping troops that are authorized stay neutral rather than following the guidance of the General Assembly.
Let me say this. These peacekeeping troops are a benefit to Hezbollah. When the Israeli soldiers were abducted back in October of 2000, the UN, it's called UNIFIL, the UN interim forces between Israel and Lebanon, they had video of the abduction. They said to the IDF, to the Israeli government, they didn't have video. Ultimately, Israel was able to prove that their cameras did capture it, and they finally turned it over, showing Hezbollah militants abducting the soldiers from the IDF they ultimately killed. But they told Israel they didn't have it. Then in the 2006 Lebanon war, UNIFIL began to broadcast on radio and online Israeli troop movements so that Hezbollah forces would know exactly where Israeli troops were. By the way, they did not broadcast Hezbollah troop movements. So the idea that they were trying to protect civilians from being caught up in gunfights or in guerrilla warfare wouldn't make sense because you would be reporting on both troop movements because you'd be trying to warn people about where areas were gathering, where there could be rockets launched or even gunfire. But no, they actually reported on. Can you imagine that? This is the UN Security Force reporting on another country's movements of their forces during an active war. I mean, so this is not, and they let Hezbollah set up firing operations next to their watchstands.
And this is UNIFIL. So, Skip, what's your view on that?
Well, the whole concept of peacekeeping forces is predicated on the assumption that both sides desire peace, and therefore you put neutral forces in between them to keep the forces apart to keep peace. That has not been very successful. There's an alternative force called peacemaking, but I don't think any force wants to do that because that would give the forces in between the authority to stop by force any actions, and then they would become probably shot at by both sides. So peacekeeping is predicated on an assumption that does not prove to be true, and that is that both sides want peace. As long as only one side wants peace, peacekeeping forces are worthless. And with respect to what Jordan just said, when you get to the point that they're taking sides, they need to be withdrawn immediately.
Yeah. All right, we're going back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to line six.
Yeah, Julie in Santa Monica, California. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Julie.
Thank you, Jordan. Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Your discussion is absolutely fascinating. What can America do to help Israel? Well, now I'm adding a third thing, both public speech, like you guys are doing, you're publicly educating, you know, all your listeners.
Yep.
What more can the president do, you know, speaking out and speaking about how we can protect Israel? Secondly, what can we do at the United Nations? And thirdly, what can we do militarily, all of these to help?
All right, so these are good questions. So, look, the United States has taken a very affirmative position. It was John Bolton released a statement immediately after the Hezbollah tunnel across the blue line. That was the area that they did it. He said the U.S. strongly supports Israel's efforts to defend its sovereignty. We call on Hezbollah to stop its tunneling into Israel and to refrain from escalation of violence. More broadly, we call on Iran. So it was pointing out Iran here. More broadly, we call on Iran and all of its agents to stop their regional aggression and provocation, which pose an unacceptable threat to Israeli and regional security. National Security Advisor Ambassador John Bolton. So that's number one that can be done. Number two, from a policy standpoint, we need to get Congress to act also and continue the resolutions that have been put forward supporting Israel, as the United States is doing here, and condemning these actions. And then, of course, then there's the UN side. But let me start with the policy side.
Well, certainly there's a role for Congress to play in strongly supporting our ally in the Middle East and in terms of providing military assistance to Israel so that it can remain strong. Secondarily, the United States, in my opinion, needs to continue its efforts to reduce its funding of the United Nations until the United Nations proves that it can indeed be an impartial arbiter. Clearly, the UN peacekeeping forces, for example, they are biased. They favor one side, and they have consistently done so. So in some sense, they have either actively intervened on behalf of forces like Hezbollah, or they have remained feckless in the face of fire. So one of the things that we can do is we can reduce funding to the United Nations until they prove that they are capable of being an impartial observer.
What do you think, Van?
Yeah, on the funding piece, I mean, the United States continues to aggressively pursue that, withdrawing funding from programs that either show a bias or are ineffective. But I would add one layer to this, Jay. I would say that the United States needs to simply do what it has set out to do over the last year, which is tell the truth on the world stage. I mean, I know we've talked about this resolution that's going to be voted on at the General Assembly on Thursday, and the idea that it will likely fail. It's a resolution the United States has put forward condemning Hamas. And the question has been, well, then why even bring it forward in the first place? And, Jay, the answer to that is because because the most powerful country in the world, the United States, is going to go on the international stage at the United Nations and tell the truth about this conflict. And you and I can both tell our listeners, from being in this chamber, the truth about this conflict is so rarely told on that stage, Jay, that that really is the first step. The United States stepping forward and telling the rest of the world the truth so that the lie that is perpetrated by most at the United Nations doesn't continue to be the only side that is aired.
So then, Skip, it begs the question. We're taking your questions, by the way, at 800-684-3110, also by Facebook and Periscope. Get your questions in as well. So, Skip, on the military side for the U.S., what can the U.S. do militarily, or is that kind of the forbidden?
Well, the Israelis really don't want direct military assistance, although, remember, during the Gulf War, we sent in Patriot batteries to help protect Israeli cities from incoming Scud missiles. We can also provide a great deal of intelligence. That the Israelis are very good at intelligence, but we have platforms in space and other places where we can provide things. And we can also take action through our Treasury Department to defund or to identify organizations that are supporting groups like Hezbollah, Hamas, and others. And then we can identify those, and then we can go against those who are actually doing it. I think the critical thing, though, is the Israelis really want to do their own defense, but we need to prepare to provide equipment, provide support where they need it, and then we need to sort of run interference for them on the international realm.
I think that's right. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You want to take one more call for the break?
Yeah, we can, and people give us a call right now. We got some lines that are open for our final segment, 1-800-684-3110. Weigh in on U.S. support for Israel.
Or other topics.
The U.N. and also, I mean, you know, this kind of new move from Israel outside of just fighting Hezbollah and these proxies in Syria to now taking it back to the border with Lebanon, where Hezbollah is really based. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call quickly. Brian in Indiana on line 5.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
Good.
A response to your question about how important it is for the U.S. to continue to help protect or support Israel is extremely, extremely important. And then one quick comment on that. My personal feeling is, I know this is political world news, if the U.S. decides to ever turn its back on Israel, my fear is that God will take his hand off this country.
Yeah, so I mean, there's the scripture verse, I'll bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. I don't see Israel losing its ally, the United States turning its back on Israel. The question is, can we stand up to the pressures at the United Nations? And Than, I guess you only got 40 seconds here, and that's always going to be the challenge.
Well, I
and
think
this,
2 years
this administration
ago, this
is doing it.
Well, 2 years ago, this was a fair question to ask, Jay, but the United States has made a 180-degree turn in that measure.
Yeah.
And you can list time after time after time. I love the direction that the United States is heading in at this point on this issue, Jay.
All right, we're coming to the last segment. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Remember, last segment of the broadcast, you can ask us about any topic. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also take during the break here Facebook and Periscope questions. But also, let me encourage you to do this. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge Campaign for December, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take your calls and comments, and let's go right to the phones first. I'm going to take a couple of comments from Facebook and Periscope, but you can call us as well at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. And again, I encourage you to call. If you get those calls in now, we can get to them before the end of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Melanie calling in from Georgia online, too. Melanie, thanks for holding on. You're now on the air.
Hi, Mr. Secular, and good afternoon.
Hi.
My question is we have military that is stationed in all different types of countries that are not under any type of moral conflict whatsoever. They're just stationed there. And I know this because I have military family and friends that are stationed in these countries. Isn't it our moral responsibility to step in to defend a country when others will not?
Well, look, I think as it relates to Israel, there's no question about it. The same thing would be if there was somebody who was in the NATO alliance, that you have a moral and legal obligation to step in and defend. But there's an interesting dynamic with this, and that is Israel has a very strong military and a very strong air force. So, Skip, I asked this actually during the break. What is the role of the U.S. military, if any, when it comes to this conflict?
As a general rule, the Israelis prefer to do their defense by themselves. Now, we have provided things in the past. For instance, we provide Patriot missile batteries, which to help shoot down Scuds during the Gulf War, for instance. And we also provide a robust platforms of intelligence. So we provide intelligence to them. We do provide weapons. We do provide munitions and things like that when they need them. But they would prefer to fight their own battles. They just ask us to help them. And what we need to do is to have a robust presence nearby so we can reinforce them when they need it. And they need to have confidence, and our enemies need to know that we're there and that we're willing to do what we need to do to represent our interests. And one of our interests is keeping the only Jewish state in the world alive.
Yeah, interesting comment also coming in, Skip, on from Brian on Periscope. Said, could the IDF utilize the tunnels to take the fight back to Hezbollah and Iran?
In theory, they could, but the tunnel warfare is very restrictive. It's only useful if you do it for small operations, and what you end up having in effect is a one-man front, so it's very easy to defend when they know you're coming.
All right, so Barb on Facebook asks, why does it appear that the UN doesn't care about the well-being of Israel? And this is a constant refrain, and it's the reality. I'm gonna go to Jordan and then Than.
Because the UN is made up of all the countries of the world, and many countries that take an anti-Israel position have great influence on countries that you wouldn't expect to vote for these resolutions because of their own demographics, you know, primarily Christian countries in the Caribbean and South America, Latin America, even in Europe as well. But because of these, again, the influence of the Islamic countries. Now, maybe that will start to change to some extent, but for the most part, to keep their domestic audiences settled, those countries, even the ones that would be working with Israel on against terrorism, like in Saudi Arabia, are going to vote yes on these condemnations to keep their domestic audience happy. And they're going to put pressure on other countries that may rely on them for oil and subsidies on oil to vote yes as well. So, and there's also, let's just be quite honest, throughout Europe and Central Europe and in Russia, parts of those Eastern Europe as well, there's been anti-Semitism forever, and it's kind of back on an upsurge again. And so there's kind of two aspects to it. European anti-Semitism, an elitist anti-Semitism that's anti-Israel, on top of then combined with the radical Islamic movements, which control a lot of resources in this world.
So then, what is your view from the UN perspective on this?
Jay, this question is actually why I think the U.S.'s shift in posture is so important at the United Nations, because if you just look at the math, there's 193 voting countries in the General Assembly, so it only takes 97 votes to get a resolution through. And essentially what that means, Jay, is the Organization for the Islamic Cooperation can pass anything they want through the General Assembly, because the United States has essentially stood down over the course of the last couple of decades on this issue, but not anymore. And this is why the Trump administration shift to say, you will support U.S. policy internationally, or else we're going to draw down our aid to you, is so significant. Jay, we've already seen it start to take place as resolutions that are condemning Israel start to gather votes on the U.S. side opposed to them, as well as the European Union support for this new Hamas resolution. Jay, that is probably the most significant reason that shift was so important. Votes are going to start to come toward the United States.
All right, here we go. We'll take another call at 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, right back to the phones. Oh, we go. Phil calling from California on line 3. Phil, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. You guys keep using the term IDF, and I don't know what that means. Would you please explain
Sure.
who they are, what they do, and are they effective?
Sometimes you get, which is our common terminology, and we're not clear enough. So the IDF is the Israel Defense Force. This is the military. The IAF is the Israel Air Force. So they have their operations like we do. So let me go to Colonel Ash on this. We've worked with the IDF before. In fact, our David Benjamin, who's a senior counsel for the ACLJ, was on the broadcast yesterday, is a colonel in the Israel Defense Force.
That's exactly right. The Israeli Defense Forces is their ground forces. It's composed of a series of regiments. It's very tank heavy because of the terrain in that area.
Which
they
you
also,
like, 'cause you're a tank guy.
Oh, I'm a tanker, so I love the tank end of it. But they also have mountain troops. They also have infantry troops. They have specialized troops. They have airborne. They have the whole panoply of military ground forces. And then they also have military air forces. And there is a navy. The Israelis have a navy that ranges from destroyers down to include submarines. They don't have huge vessels because they don't have the capability and they don't have the waters to protect, but they do have all the branches of the military that are essential for defending the country, and the IDF is the backbone of the defense of Israel. And everybody that goes into the military, with a few exceptions, they go in right out of high school and they serve for 3 years, and then they're in the reserves up until their 40s. So they call up the reserves very often. So it's a very integrated system.
All right, so we got a great question for Harry. Cheryl on Facebook writes, how does this fit with an American First policy? I want to go to Harry and then Jordan. Go, Harry.
Well, first, we should continue to emphasize America's strategic interest in the world and in the Middle East. And so many of our opponents on the world stage refuse to attack us directly. So, for instance, at the United Nations, they are more inclined to attack our allies. And so that's one of the reasons why the United Nations General Assembly continues to support anti-Israeli resolutions. And the United States has refused to respond. But I think this administration, under its America First strategy, is prepared to cut off aid and assistance to those countries who refuse to support America's strategic interests going forward. That's very helpful.
Listen, Israel is America's number one ally in the region. We depend on Israel for being on the front lines of terrorism and informing us about these terrorist groups. That remember, Iran, we are the great Satan. Israel is the little Satan. Hezbollah is in line with Iran. So all of these interests, Israel is really on the front lines on this war, on these terror groups and terror states. So that is why it aligns with the America First policy. And by the way, Israeli security is now aligning with other American interests in the region, like oil and in the Gulf states, with the Saudis, with the UAE, with the Qataris. So it is actually expanding its purpose in the America First agenda.
All right, that does it. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.